Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Expect results from prayer. You are studying Lesson 5. God wants you to have abundance through prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Today, we're going to spend some time talking about, in our study of prayer, how God's people should pray and what God's will is concerning our prayer lives in economics, in our money, in goods, in things. Now, there are some things that we need to know, first of all, about this. Let me tell you this before I get 1 second further into this. I've waited almost a year and a half on this broadcast before I brought this up to any degree for a number of reasons. One, I don't want you or anybody else to have the idea that I'm on television to get your money, because I am not. You understand? Now, I've waited over a year before I did any teaching on this in order for you to realize and understand how this broadcast and this ministry functions and operates, to let you know that we're not here just begging for your goods and all that kind of thing. And I'm not insinuating that other preachers do or don't. I mean, that's... other people have to be led of God and deal with their lives and ministry and everything else the way they're... the way God deals with them. I'm talking to you about this ministry, okay? Now, even though we've been through some real tough spots financially over the last almost a year and a half now, and even to the point of where we had to take some stations off of the air until we get our bills paid, but it's still worth it because we're going to make it. We know how to pray and believe God concerning our finances. But if I had come on here and just immediately started in on you and just go on and on and on and on about, well, you know how far that would go, and particularly in the face of a lot of things that's happened in the recent past. But now that this ministry is on good footing, good ground, you know what our purpose is, it is important. God's Word has a whole lot to say about our financial surroundings and about what God has already done and God has already said. Our way of doing things has been to go out and do things financially the way the world does them and then come back and say, oh, God bless this, and then turn around and say, well, we don't want any of the world's goods. Well, that's in the first place. Let's just settle that right now. The world doesn't have any goods. The devil doesn't own anything. He doesn't have title to anything. He's a thief. Whatever he has, he stole it. And there's nobody to steal from but God. Are you listening to me? The Bible said God has given us all things to enjoy. There's not really anything inherently bad about money. Oh, Brother Copeland, my money's the root of all evil. There you go, misquoting the Bible. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say that money is the root of all evil. It said the love of it is the root of all evil. You can commit that sin without a dime. You understand that? The love of... I mean, there's people that'll kill you for $20, man. Amen. So, what I'm saying to you is that we need to find out what the Bible has to say about it and stick with what God has to say about it, and we begin to realize in studying the Bible and knowing what God's will is becomes the base of a firm foundation of faith that'll stand up against persecution. Now, Jesus said that God would bless in the 10th chapter of Mark that God would bless. And he talked about goods. He talked about houses and lands and so forth and so on. But he said, it'll come with persecution. I mean, the devil will fight you over goods because that's really the only thing he's been able to get his hands on to choke the church down and to choke God's people down. Whoever controls the money controls what goes into whatever is happening. Whoever controls the money controls eventually what is taught in a school. Whoever controls the money, whoever owns the most of the stock in a printing company determines whether they print pornography or Bibles. Amen? I mean, it's not the guy that manages the company. It's the guy that's got the money in the company is the one that chokes it or frees it. Now, let me back up here just a second because there's something I want you to get. I said something there that I don't want to just bounce away from because it has to do with the entire field of prayer, all of it, different kinds of prayer, prayer of agreement, binding, loosing, intercession, supplication, petition, all the intercession, all these different kinds of prayer, different fields of prayer that are prayed on different foundations and different spiritual laws are involved in them. And the Word gives us instruction in each of these areas of prayer. But there is one thing that is a base under all the different kinds of prayer that all prayer and the results therein is sitting on as a foundation, and that is the Word of God. Or we could put it this way. This is the first time I will have mentioned this to you because we're headed now more into detail and into some fairly advanced study here concerning prayer. The Word of God is the will of God. You can't have any faith for anything that you are believing you receive from God beyond what you know is His will for you to have. And when you hear people say things, well, you know, Brother Copeland, I just don't know where God wants me to be well or not. Well, now, wait a minute. Why would you go spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars at the hospital and medicine if you don't believe it's God's will for you to be well? You won't let me pray the prayer of faith. You won't let me pray the prayer of healing. You won't. Well, I just don't know if it's God's will to heal me. Well, you ain't got no business with even a wet rag across your face. You ain't got any business taking an aspirin. You ain't got any business calling a doctor. No, 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 no. If it's not God's will for you to be well, I mean, you ought to be doing everything. You ought to be drinking all the poison you can find. Get just sick as you can get. No, you see, that's foolishness. And that kind of foolishness comes out of the lack of spiritual sensitivity, the lack of knowledge of God's Word. The Bible said that His people perish for a lack of knowledge, and that's not a lack of knowledge of mathematics, it's a lack of knowledge of the spiritual laws that govern all of man's existence. Now then, when you know what God has already said about it, then you know what His will is about it. And when you know what His will is about it, or what His Word is His will. This is a manifestation of His will. Well, brother, I'm going to fast and pray for 40 days and find out whether it's God's will to heal me or not. Well, brother, you can save yourself a lot of trouble just by turning to the Word of God that said He bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and by His stripes ye were healed. Amen. Now, one of the major problems people have concerning finances is the fact that we've been taught all different kinds of things that were all messed up and bent out of shape. Years and years and years ago, men of God recognized that unborn again men had gotten into the hierarchy of churches and so forth and were stealing money from the people and building mighty financial empires by stealing money off of people that couldn't read the Bible, and they took the Bible out of the hands of the people. The Dark Ages came in and they said, "Dear God, I have a revelation," one man said, "that man doesn't need that. He can serve God without it." That's right, you can. God will meet your needs according to His riches in glory. But where this was pushed out of shape was going further than that and taking a vow to poverty. When the Bible says poverty is a curse. I mean, to take a vow to poverty is to tell Jesus, well, I know you redeemed me from the curse and you spilt your blood for it, but I'm going to be poor anyhow because I think you'll love me better for it. Well, I mean, you know, really and truly, he didn't realize it was that. I didn't say that he did. But that's happened down through the years in all revelation. I mean, men have fallen short of the glory of God, right? But we've had a lot of that kind of teaching to the point to where even the world thinks if I become a Christian, God will take everything I have away from me. And it's a wrong idea, and the devil's used it to rob God's people and rob the world of what belongs to them in Christ Jesus and a lot of other things. So when we find out what God's Word has to say about it, we find out what His will is concerning it, then we begin to have and to know what our foundation for prayer is. Now, let me read you something from the Bible that is an absolute definition of what God says about prosperity. Now, first of all, prosperity is a whole lot more than money. If you look up prosperity in the dictionary, the word prosperity doesn't mean gold, it doesn't mean silver, it doesn't mean diamonds. It includes all of that, but it doesn't specifically mean that. We are so money-minded, we are so material-minded. I'm telling you, you mentioned prosperity. Oh, they're talking about money. Well, yeah, I'm talking about money, but money is about that much out of something this big. To prosper is to excel in something desirable. Well, brother, when you ain't got enough to eat, something desirable is food. And to excel at that would be able to sit down at a meal that's nourishing and it's good and it's hot and it's paid for. Amen? To excel in something desirable to some guy that's freezing to death on the street without even a pair of shoes on is to have a warm bed with clean sheets paid for. Amen. He doesn't have to owe somebody for it or take somebody's handout for it. That's prosperity. But now what is prospering where the spiritual realm is concerned? Well, I'll tell you what, to prosper spiritually, the first thing is to be born again. That is to excel in something desirable. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost and power is to excel in something desirable. I desire to be filled with the power of the living God. I desire to be born again. I desire to walk in the things of God, to be anointed of God. Brother, that's to prosper. In reality, in short, in a nutshell, the Bible definition of prosperity is to be able to use the power of God in communication with God in prayer and faith to meet all the needs of mankind, regardless of what they are, spirit, soul, body, financial, or social. Amen. All the spectrum of human existence to excel serving God. Why? Why do we need to prosper? Why do you need to prosper spiritually? Well, for one thing, brother, one reason that I wanted to get born again is to keep from going to hell. I ain't got any desire to go to hell. I'm not going. Now, you got to remember this, too. The reason that we prosper, and I'm going to read this to you, all right? It's all right here in a couple of verses of Scripture. The reason to prosper financially is not so you can just buy more TVs and buy bigger cars and so that you can watch television, in 16 different ways. No, that's not the reason for prosperity. That's what James was talking about when he said, you want to squander it on your lust. However, he was not talking about not enjoying the blessings of God. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. We're talking about purpose here. God's not going to heal your body so that you can sit around and watch television without any pain. I mean, there's more to it than that, my brother. The thing is based on the service of God. The service of God. Doing the work of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read you something here. First of all, Let's back up into the 8th verse and let's get hold of something here. The Apostle Paul was talking to these people about receiving an offering. He was receiving an offering from one group for another group that had really hit it hard. Man, they were in bad shape. He said in the 20th verse of the 8th chapter, and I want to get this verse in order to point out a word here to you. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. He's saying we want an abundant offering to take to these people. Now the word abundance here in the Greek text is, I'm no Greek scholar, but I can read a concordance. And I read it in the concordance and also read it in W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary New Testament Words. This Greek word, H-A-D-R-O-S, spelled out in English, translated abundance, means thick, fat, full grown and rich. He said, we're going to take up an offering for these people that is thick, fat, full grown and rich. Praise God. Then you go over in the 9th chapter, and he comes down here and he says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully, same word, shall reap also bountifully. He which sows thick, fat, abundant, and rich. I mean, with that kind of attitude. Then he said, that's the way you will receive. Now listen to this. Get this, because this is the Bible's definition in a nutshell of the whole business of prospering, advancing, excelling in things that are desirable. Of course, the key word there is desirable. If you're desiring the wrong thing, you ain't got any business excelling it. We're wanting to excel according to God's economy, His way, His desire, His thought, His life, and His purpose. Now, he said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because preachers put pressure on you for it. This is a misunderstanding by most preachers because they just can't understand if they don't get up here and put pressure on you, you ain't going to give. If you don't give, how am I going to make it? No, I don't make it. See, the central motive here is I give and it'll be given unto me again. So now I am telling you how to use that same principle, expecting God to move and for as you give, but the source of my prayer and my believing, I am not depending on you, the people, to meet my needs. I'm depending on God to meet my needs because of my giving. You understand that? So I could say, my needs are not met by your giving, they're met by my giving. But then God uses you as you give and as your motive becomes the meeting of your needs by giving, then as our giving crosses hands with one another, everybody's needs are met. Now that's what God had in mind when he set this thing up. Now notice this. Let me read you this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now here, I looked up that word abound. Now you've got to get this. To abound. This is God's definition and purpose now for prosperity. To provide for so richly that one has thick, fat, full, and rich. Now that's two Greek words put together there. It means that to abound towards you means to provide richly. To abound is to provide so richly that this word abundance then is connected with it, which means that it's thick, fat, full grown, and rich. Now, let's look at what he said here. God is able to make all grace abound. All grace provide for you so richly, thick, fat, and full grown that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. There's the same word, abound again. God is able to make all grace abound towards you in such abundance that His grace is just thick around. You're thick with His grace, full, fat, just grace, His grace and favor. So much so that you have all sufficiency in all things. Now listen, hook this together. Listen carefully, because this is the key to it. This is why He wants to put you in this position, so that you're always having all sufficiency in all things, so that you may abound, so that you may provide for others so abundantly, you may abound to every good work, as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Huh? He says God wants you to give so that His grace can get fat and thick and rich around you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things, so that you may abound and be thick and fat and rich in abundance to the poor. I mean, quit having rummage sales and begin to provide for the poor. The government can't do it. It's going to take the Church of Jesus Christ to do it. And we've been claiming that we don't want any of this world's goods. We've been claiming, God doesn't want us to have anything. Well, if God doesn't want you to have anything, then He's the thief, not the devil, because He has it all. Amen? That just can't match up, brother. It just can't make it. Well, Jesus was poor. Who told you that? Who told you such a lie as that? He was born poor. No, He wasn't. He was born in a manger. That's right. He's born in a stock pen. He wasn't born there because He didn't have any money. He was born there because the hotel was full. Amen. Forgive me for hollering at you, but sometimes I have to holler at you to get past that religion you got your brain clobbered up with. Amen. No. Joseph was a businessman, owned his own business. He went around and checked on every inn. He checked on every hotel. There wasn't a room in town, brother. And he finally told his people, he said, look, my wife is pregnant. I need a place to sleep. They said, the only place we got is a stable. He said, I'll take it. There's really nothing that tells us he got the stable for nothing. He probably had to pay for that. Why was he there anyway? Because they were taxing people. Amen. He's there to pay taxes. What do you think the gold, frankincense, and myrrh was for? To set up on the mantelpiece and look at there what the king brought me. No, man. It financed Jesus' life and His family while they were in Egypt in exile from Herod. When they came back, he went back into business again. And then Jesus never was poor. No, the Bible said there were people followed Him, rich and wealthy people followed Him and ministered to Him of their substance. He became poor when He went to that cross. Of course, when He came into this earth as a man, compared to what He was and is and who He was and who He is and who He'll forever be. I mean, anything in this earth is just poverty stricken compared to Him. But that was not what that verse scripture was referring to. It's talking about when He went to the cross. By that time, He owned nothing. He had given it all. He had expended it all. And He went to that cross, and the Bible said He became poor. He bore our poverty on that cross that we might always have all sufficiency in all things, so that we can give in abundance and thick and fat and rich to the poor and bless them in His name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out and don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn and then learn and pray and pray and learn and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next series.